Hey, this is Pastor John Ryan Cantu from Pneuma Church in Houston, Texas. Thank you for listening to the message today. I hope that it blesses you and all those that you share it with. God bless you.
Be seated for just a moment. Just a moment. We're going to get into the Word. Anybody ready for the Word this morning? Amen. Praise God. I hope you came hungry, man, because God came to feed His people. We won't be fed if we ain't hungry. Amen. But before we get into the Word, I want to take some time, intentional time, to acknowledge just people who had a part to play in our fellowship hall remodel. We're not done yet, but we've made a dent. Praise God. Amen. And so I want to just, you know, I want to make sure I don't forget this. I want to thank, you know, our general contractor. My dad, Pastor Juan Cantu. I want to thank, I don't know if Tita's here, but she's our designer, our architect. If you ever need an architect, I don't know if she's taking clients, but she's an architect. Just know she's an architect, and she helped us with that. And Joey, is Joey here? Joey ain't here today. I forget him. I'm just kidding. He's my cousin, I can say it. Joey's our AC tech. He's worked extremely hard. Pastor Renee, he is our youth pastor, and he's also a master electrician. He's walking in there. Man, look at him. I want to thank our unofficial project manager, Pastor Danny, who was making sure the guys were working. My brother Robert for providing free dumpsters for us. Praise the Lord. And all the people that came to lend a hand to help clean and more than anybody else, all of you, everybody who gave to Project Vision. And I hope that the Lord, if you haven't given yet, I hope that the Lord speaks something to you so we can finish what we started. Amen. God has gave vision for this house, and He's supplying for the growth, and we need to do our part as best as we can. So thank you. Thank you for that. Give God some praise. Amen. Give God some praise. Amen. And if I miss anybody, just talk to me afterward. Be like, Pastor, you don't love me. And I'll let you know that I do. I want you to stand with me as we go to the Word. Brother David this morning, Pastor David this morning, brought a word in Spanish ministry and very much in alignment with today's word. So I think God is speaking to the whole church. I want you to turn to Psalm 23. Psalm 23. And we're going to read the whole chapter, but it's not very long. Psalm 23, if you have it, say, I have it. Amen. Hold on. Okay. Psalm 23. We got it. It says this, it says, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Heavenly Father, I pray over this word right now that you have first spoken over your servant, my God. I pray that as I have received it, Lord, and intend to live by it, my God, the same would be true of your people here today, Father God. I pray, Holy Spirit, that you would be on my lips, my God, that nothing that I would say today would be of me, my God, but only of you, Father. In Jesus' mighty name, I pray that you would bring healing, conviction, peace, and comfort and salvation, Father God, as we trust in our Lord, our shepherd. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. You can be seated. Man. This psalm is probably the most beloved psalm, the most memorized psalm in all of Scripture. It is a psalm of David. David, who knew better than anybody else what it took to be a shepherd, right? David was a shepherd before he became king, and he understood all that went into the role of a shepherd and how he needed to be on watch and how he needed to protect and even fight off predators that came after the flock. He knew the work that it took to make sure that all the sheep were guided in the right direction. And he knew the pain of having to go after the one and leaving the 99 just to bring the one back. And so as he's writing this Psalm 23, this beautiful, beloved song, he's reflecting on everything that he's gone through in his life and all the enemies that he's made and all the blood that he's shed. And he finds comfort in knowing that the Lord is his shepherd. That's what Psalm 23 is about. It's about the comfort and the peace that we as his sheep find in every season of life as long as the Lord shepherds us. And I want to bring this word of encouragement today to anybody who might be feeling lost. Maybe you're feeling confused. Maybe you are in a season of uncertainty. And you might not understand why God is allowing you to go through these troubled waters. This psalm reminds those of us who are privileged enough to be his sheep that wherever we go, he guides us. Wherever we go, God is there with us. And even though it may feel uncomfortable, God is there to comfort us. And so I entitled the sermon this morning, Comfortable with the Comfort. Comfortable with the Comfort. And I'll say this, if this word is for nobody else, it is 100% for me. 100%. The Lord really spoke this over my life, and he's teaching me how to live out this word. I have a working theory about Psalm 23. I think it resonates with women a lot more naturally than it does with men. I think us men, you know, we understand the message of Psalm 23, but like we don't get it. Like women, they really get it. That's why it's so commercialized to women. Yeah, look, they don't sell Psalm 23 notebooks and pens and bookmarks and picture frames to men, okay? You type in Psalm 23 in Amazon, you're going to find nothing but womanly products. Because men just don't really get it like women do. I think women really understand what it means for the Lord to be their shepherd because they have allowed God to be their comforter. When my wife comes to me after a long, very stressful day and she's dealing with some stuff and making her emotional, I, as her husband, as her good husband, go into solutions mode, right? Like I hear a problem, I try to identify solutions. I'm like ChatGPT, right? Like maybe you should do this. Maybe you shouldn't do that. That's the only way. And I try to find, and I think most men are like this, like we try to find help for our wives who seemingly need our help, right? But I have learned, and apparently this is a global epidemic that men face, that apparently when your wife is coming to you with her problems, she's not actually trying to get you to solve her problems. She just wants to be heard. She just wants you to look at her in the eye and nod a little bit. She just wants to vent. She wants you to sympathize, give her a hug, and simply comfort her. That's what she wants. But no, but okay, I want you to know this. If I ever go to you with my problems, I fully intend for you to solve them, okay? It is nice to be sympathized with. It's nice to be heard, but it's not as nice as practical solutions. It's hard enough for men to be open and honest and vulnerable about things. You think we want to go through all of that just to be comforted? Give me something I can work with. So that's how I go to my wife. You know, I'm like, all right, babe, let's. She's like, I don't need solutions right now. I'm like, that's exactly what you need. What are you talking about? But you know what? That's exactly what the Lord wants to be when he acts as our shepherd. God is teaching me this. I feel like I'm in a season right now where God is like, look, you're going to get a hug from me and you're going to like it. He's teaching me how to be comfortable with the comfort. I think many of us need to learn how to be comfortable with the comfort of God. And this is why I say that women just get it and men don't. Because if I just sit there and acknowledge all that my wife is facing without offering solutions, that's enough for her. And there's going to be seasons when God withholds every blessing and answered prayer that we're hoping to receive. And he's saying, look, my comfort needs to be enough. The thing about, you know, the I am is that God can be anything that he needs to be in any given moment, in any given situation, right? That is the power of the I am. This is why God has so many names, so an infinite amount of names that we could call upon our God for. But he gave himself one name. When he introduced himself to Moses, he said, I am Yahweh. What is the I am literally translate to? We've been over this before. It means I will be that which I will be. Moses says, who shall I say sent me? And God says, tell him the I am sent you. Well, I am what? Who are you? What are you? That's the thing. I am is whatever God needs to be in any moment. In ancient Egypt, where Moses fled from, they had gods for everything. They had the sun god Ra. They had the fertility god Osiris. They had Horus, the god of the sky. They had Isis, the god of motherhood. They had the Khosnu, the moon god. The I am encompasses all of that and so much more. God says, I am the creator of the sky. I am the God who commands the sun when to shine. I am the one who tells the oceans where to stop. I am the God of the universe and the God of man. There is no higher name than the I am. We know this. Now, the problem is that the problem that we stumble into is many times we think, you hearing me? We think that we can call upon any name of God and he's going to manifest in the way that we think we need him to manifest. Now, I'm not saying that we should not call upon the names of God. Absolutely not. That's not what I'm preaching. I'm not saying that when we need the healer, don't call Rapha. I'm not saying that when we need a provider, we don't call upon Jireh. But we need to understand that it's Yahweh who dictates what he will be when he needs to be it. We do not. Yahweh means I will be. God, I will be what I need to be. And thank the Lord, man. Thank the Lord, because sometimes what I ask God for is way too small for what God wants to manifest as. You know, I've got my plans, but God's got bigger plans. If I was Moses and I was standing in front of the Red Sea and I had an army behind me, I would say, okay, God, give me a boat. But God said, I'll do you one better. I'll just part this whole thing and give you access to walk through it from. I thank God that I don't have the power to tell God what he's going to be, but rather he decides what he needs to be for me. Now, that's great when God wants one-ups us, right? But sometimes he does the opposite. And I can't tell you how many times I've prayed this. I've said prayers like in a sneaky way, like as if God doesn't really know what's in my heart. Like I've asked God for something small, expecting him to give me something bigger. I don't know if you've done that before. And I'm like, God, just give me $1,000, and I'm really like hoping he gives me like $1,000,000. But many times he ends up giving me nothing. Sometimes God does not manifest in the way that I want him to manifest. And so when I want the healer, sometimes God withholds the healing. When I want the provision, he doesn't send it the way that I want him to send it. Sometimes he won't send the blessing right away. Sometimes he's not sending a victory. Sometimes he's not sending solutions to our problems. Sometimes he's simply sending comfort. And I'll be honest, I was really thinking about this. I can't remember the last time I prayed for comfort for myself. I was really trying hard. Like, Lord, when was the last time I just prayed, God, comfort me? I pray for other people all the time. I pray after somebody experienced loss. I pray it for somebody when they're feeling hopeless. Like, Lord, wrap them in your loving arms and just comfort this person. But I never ask God to comfort me. I always ask God to fix things for me. I ask God to take things, take this thorn from my flesh, take me out of this season, help me, bless me, anoint me, strengthen me, replenish me. But it's never, Lord, just comfort me. And why is it? I feel like if I start asking God for comfort, I've given up on everything else that I'm praying for. But when we reject the comfort from the Holy Spirit, we reject the person of the Holy Spirit. Because he is the comforter. He is the counselor. He is the helper. He is not ChatGPT. He doesn't always give solutions. He doesn't always give new revelation. Sometimes God is simply wanting his sheep to rest in the comfort of the good shepherd and be satisfied with his guidance. Now, I know we don't always think about God as the shepherd. At least I don't. And maybe I'm just speaking to myself this morning. But I know that I'm not the only one who, when we think about God, we think of him as this great and mighty warrior. He conquered death. He levels mountains. He parts seas. He brings giants to their knees, right? We often like to think of God only in the context of him defeating our enemies. See or no? I mean, that's all over Scripture. And so many times we only think of God in the context of him defeating every one of our enemies. But before he defeats your enemies, he has to prepare a table for you in the presence of your enemies. Meaning you will have to dine with your enemies for a little while. You will have to lean into the uncomfortable in order to be comforted. You will have to feel the pain of that sickness. You will have to feel the hurt of that loss. You will have to deal with the emotions that bring out the worst of you and lead people and serve people who don't even like you. You will have to do the things that you hope you never had to do. And sometimes you're going to have to reap the consequences of your mistake that even though God has the power to take away in a moment, the only thing he's going to send you in those seasons is comfort. Got to get comfortable with the comfort. I believe that God is trying to teach me this in this season of my life. Like I said, I believe that he is trying to teach me how to just rest in the comfort of God. I'll be honest with you, I've not mastered this. I used to think that God would put us in seasons of like hopelessness and desperation and seasons of discomfort only to teach us how to depend on him more. And that's all over Scripture. God is teaching his people how to depend on him, right? That's a real life lesson that God teaches us constantly to grow in our faith. God withholds things so that our faith increases. And I have been a subject of that, and it doesn't feel very good, but I know what it is for my faith to increase as a result of God taking some things away. But I have found myself, again, I'm just preaching to myself. I have found myself recently asking God, Lord, why do I still feel stuck? I've already given you all of my cares. I've already learned how to trust in you. I've learned how to depend on you. Like Paul says, in every season, I know how to abound and I know how to be without. In every season, I know that I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. I have learned this already. I have learned how to have faith and work faithfully. And I'm going to continue to be faithful to him because he's so good to me. My faith is strong. Anybody else faith strong this morning? So what God is teaching me right now is how to be at peace in the presence of chaos. I think about the story when Jesus was asleep on the boat, you know, and the disciples were they were with him. They knew that Jesus was in the boat and they were crying out to him because clearly there's chaos. Clearly we're in the middle of a storm, Jesus. Now theirs was a faith lesson. They needed to learn how to depend more on God who was in their boat. But I feel like I'm past that part. I feel like I'm in the boat trying not to disturb the sleeping Jesus because I'm like, everything's going to be okay. And I'm in the chaos and I'm still saying, God is good. Try not to cry. God is good. God's getting ready to turn this thing around. Any minute, I'm not freaking out. I've still got the joy. But you know what? I can't sit still. Because even though I have faith and even though I have joy, I don't always have peace. The peace of God comes in the chaos. Listen, the peace of God is accepting that the storm may never calm down. Somebody needs to hear that again because you didn't get it. The peace of God is accepting that the storm may never calm down. I don't know that I'm there yet because I'm always there with the faith. No, the storm will calm down in Jesus' name. And don't you tell me he won't do it. Don't you? And I'm there rebuking things. No, God is going to deliver the miracle. That is my faith. And God wants his people to know today that, yes, he wants you to carry the faith. Don't stop believing. Don't stop declaring. Don't stop praying. But it's not faith or peace that he wants you to have. It's both of them. We believe that God will deliver us from this fiery furnace of torture and discomfort. But even if he doesn't, I'm okay with that. Because if the shepherd leads me to it, he's going to lead me through it. God is teaching me that. It's okay not to have all the answers. Listen, somebody, it's okay not to have the solutions. It's okay not to have a plan. That's the thing about me, man. If God doesn't bring me a miracle, I take that to mean that God is giving me the tools and the wisdom to fix it. See or no? Like, after I ask God for the miracle, because that's the easy thing to do, like, just do the miracle, God, and he doesn't do it, then I'm like, all right, God, give me wisdom. That's fair. You're not just going to snap your fingers and make everything okay for me. I'm willing to work. Just give me the wisdom. And so in my life, there is this constant movement of spiritual things. That's how you have to be when you're in a relationship with God. You have to be led by God to see where God is taking you. And then you have to have the discernment to know when God is saying, look, I'm going to be still. It's your turn to move. It's your turn to work. And that takes a very deep connection with the Holy Spirit through prayer, through fellowship, through worship, through seeking him. And that's how I really try to live my life. And so when God's not moving, I'm like, okay, God, put me in, coach. I'll be moved by the power of the Holy Spirit. You don't want to part the Red Sea for me. That's fine. I'm ready to build my boat. And I still have the faith that you're going to get me on the other side. I still have the faith that God is going to send the provision for me to build this thing. He's going to send the help to help me build this thing, because if I try to do it on my own, I'm going to sink in 5 minutes. It's good when there is constant movement in your life, because that shows God that you still have faith. But sometimes there's going to be moments where God says, look, I'm not going to move and you're not going to move. There's not going to be a miracle. There's not going to be saying on your part. There's not going to be doing on your part. There's just going to be being still and knowing that I'm God. How many of us are constantly on the move? We're always in the doing. We're in the serving. We're in the speaking. We're in the proclaiming, in the declaring. We're in the working. But just dwelling in the knowing. Like, how underrated has it become for us just to sit still in the presence of God? There's always something to do. There's always somebody to serve. There's always something to believe for and pray for. And there's always a war, a spiritual war to wage. But don't neglect the knowing. Just sitting in the presence of God and knowing that everything is going to be okay. The psalmist says in Psalm 46, God is our refuge and our strength and ever-present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth give way and the mountains fall into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam and the mountains quake with their surging. Verse 8 says, come. Somebody say, come. He says, come and behold. Come and look at what the Lord has done, how he has brought desolations on the earth. He makes war cease to the end of the earth. He breaks the bow and shatters the spear. He burns the chariots with fire. Be still and know that I am God. You don't always need solutions. You don't always need answers. You don't always have to have a plan. Because the word of God also says it's not by power nor by might, but by the power of the Spirit of the living God. So there are moments where all you can do is rest in the comfort of the Lord. Are you getting this morning? Y'all are quiet today. It's okay. You don't have to clap out of pity. I'm just asking a question. Good job, Pastor. Maybe this word is for just me. Because, man, I'm telling you, I have been so much a faith guy or a wisdom guy, but I haven't mastered just being a guy who's comfortable being comforted. Just not knowing. Just not having a plan. Just dwelling in the uncertainty, but knowing that my God is on my side. You know what I'm also learning? I'm learning that it doesn't get much more spiritual than Psalm 23. If you haven't paid attention yet, pay attention now. Psalm 23 is incredibly spiritual, because to abide in the comfort of God is 100% spiritual. Verse 3 says, he restores my soul. The concern here in Psalm 23 is not your physical drama. It's not your mental struggles. It's not your relationship issues. The concern of the shepherd is your soul. It's your soul. And everything that we go through physically, it might affect the soul. But God might not even touch these things that are affecting your soul today, because he knows that fixing your physical needs and fixing your mental anxiety and your relationships will not fix your soul. Only communing with God will fix your soul. Only communing with God will bring you restoration of your spirit. And yet, so many of us carry this heart posture. We would never say this out loud, but we say it with our heart that says, Lord, if you just fix this, all is well with my soul. If you just solve this problem, I can praise you with clarity. If you take this burden from me, I can worship you without being distracted. If you take away this problem, 100%, I'm going to be at church every Sunday. But if it's still here, I don't know that I can make it. We don't say it out loud, but our heart says it. God, you have to fix the physical in order for my soul to be restored. And God is saying, no. I can fix everything that is wrong in your life, but that is not fixing your soul. All of these things are symptoms. The root is just abiding in the presence of the Father. The root is just knowing that being guided by the shepherd is enough. The root is just being still, not having the answers, not knowing what tomorrow is going to bring, but just being comforted by the Spirit of God. I want to break down this psalm real quick, just piece by piece. You still with me? Man, I truly believe that God... somebody just needs to speak this over their spirit. Like, you need to speak Psalm 23 over your spirit. Because some of you are here today and you're looking for solutions. You're looking for answers. You're looking for blessings. And my God is a God who can and does deliver all of those things. And I will preach that to the day I can no longer preach. But maybe today God is trying to teach you something totally different than what you were hoping to learn in this season. And that's how to simply dwell in the peace of God. By allowing God to comfort you when everything in your life is in pieces. I don't know how many people here have given the power of their soul over to what you go through in life. This is why your soul is constantly going through this roller coaster of spiritual ups and downs. Sometimes you love God, sometimes you're not sure. Sometimes you want to praise, sometimes you want to sit with your arms crossed. And then when God sends you aid, when God sends you help in the form of his beloved church to comfort you, sometimes you pull away. Because you wish that people would stop checking on you. You wish that they'd stop asking you about their problems. You wish they would mind their business. You wish that they would stop asking you how they can pray for you. You're tired of, you are rejecting the comfort of God, thinking that you can do it on your own, and you cannot. God is saying today, give back your soul to the good shepherd. Give your soul to the good shepherd. God is saying, you give me your problems. You give me your finances. You give me everything that you're going through. Give me the thing that I'm after. Give me your soul, the thing that matters. That's the thing that the good shepherd is protecting. You can have negative in your bank account. Your physical condition can start to decay. But the thing that the good shepherd is after is your soul. That's what he's after. And so that should be our concern. And so I want you to read this out loud with me. Can you put verse 1 up there real quick? Come on. In one voice. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. One more time. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. You know, I read this and I think about David and I'm like, David, you sure you want to write that? There's a lot that I want. I gave God a laundry list of things that I want just yesterday. There is a lot that I'm asking God for. There's a lot that I want physically, financially, come on, Jesus. There's things that I'm asking God for materially. There's things that I'm asking God for this church, for this ministry, for our people. But David is not talking about our material wants. He's talking about the soul that rests in the hands of the good shepherd. He says, I shall want nothing because I've got all that I need. Verse 2. Come on, read it with me. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. See, when my reality, when I wake up in the morning after I read Psalm 23, as beautiful as it is, and I wake up and I see nothing but dead things, when it seems like I'm in a drought and my bank account is thirsty and my marriage needs some watering and my health is decaying and my relationships are up in flames, my soul is lying down in green pastures. When there is a storm surrounding me, my mind is at peace beside the waters that the shepherd leads me to. Put the next one on, please. Come on, it says, he leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. This is what we need to understand. Even though, somebody say even though I walk through the valley, that path of the valley will be used for his name's sake. You got to realize that. When you are walking in uncharted territory, when you are walking in the middle of the valley, and it seems real ghetto in here, and nobody should be over here, just know that every step that you take will be a step that God turns around for his glory. Because God will never waste a step of his sheep. In order for there to be victory, there first has to be opposition. And God is in the business of demonstrating his glory. The devil wanted to have some of you. I know your stories. I know your testimonies. I know how the devil wanted to have your faith, and so he attacked your family, and he attacked your mind, and he tried to steal your joy. And he was allowed to rock the boat that was already on troubled waters. But for those of us who are comforted by the rod and the staff of the Good Shepherd, we have nothing to fear. Because through the valleys there will be green pastures. There will be still waters, and our souls will be restored. So verse 5, come on, keep reading with me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. I love this next part. It says, you anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Think about this. Think about this for a second. When the enemy is watching you and he's licking his chops and he's getting ready to launch his attack, the Good Shepherd is standing right there anointing you in the presence of the enemy. He's saying, this one is mine. He anoints you as a conqueror. Know it. You have to know that you are anointed, church, because when you know that you are covered and you are led by the Good Shepherd, when you know that God has got your back in the presence of enemies, you can loudly and boldly declare this next part: surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Let me remind you of something. And with this, I'm done. We are sheep. We are sheep. I think this is another reason that men don't get this passage like we should. I don't know that we're satisfied being sheep. We don't like being compared to sheep. Man of God, when was the last time you attended a men's conference that was called Sheep Rise Up? I would never go to that. No. But if it's lion, roar. Lion, arise. Man, cue that rock music, man. I am there. We want to be fierce. But listen, men, I don't know why I'm just speaking to men right now, but everybody, listen, men of God, I know that you want to be fierce. I know that you want to be strong. I know that you want to be a warrior. I know that you want to kill your enemy forces. But if I could kill the enemy forces, I wouldn't need a savior. If I could defeat the devil with one strike, I wouldn't need to follow Jesus. So I have to be humble enough to know that I am no good on my own. I am not a lion, but he is. I am not a victor, but he is. I only have power by proxy. Because when the wolves know, listen, when the wolves know that my shepherd is the good shepherd, there's people here today that have not allowed themselves to be comforted by God. And sometimes you just have to rest in the presence of God without feeling the need to say something. Some of you might be going through some real struggles today. And I'm sorry, I asked you to stand, but stay with me. Some of you are going through some things today and you haven't processed the pain the way that God wants you to process it. Listen. You have felt it. You have processed it through faith. And so you're constantly saying, nope, 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 nope. In Jesus' name, this is going away. In Jesus' name, I don't want this anymore. In Jesus' name. You have processed it through rebuking and casting out. But you have yet to process it through peace. And a question I feel like I need to present to you today is, if all God sends is comfort, will that be enough? Is the comfort of God alone enough to allow you to just sit and be still in his presence? I want to make a call today for those of us who have been asking for answers. We've been asking for solutions. I'm going to call you just to come and rest in the comfort of your good shepherd. Some of you need to say it out loud. Lord, even if you don't. You need to say it out loud. Even if you don't, you will still have my heart. If that's you this morning, I still want to pray with you. Maybe you just need a hug. Maybe you don't even need anybody to pray with you. You just need a warm embrace. If you're a man, come be hugged by a man. If you're a woman, come be hugged by a woman. If you just need a rest in the comfort of God, these altars are open as the worship team sings. I'm going to stop talking now. This is you and the Good Shepherd this morning.
Thanks for listening. If you'd like some more information on Pneuma Church, visit us on our website at mynumachurch.org. If you enjoyed the podcast, you can subscribe or share it with your friends on social media and tag us at mynumachurch. Thanks again, and God bless.